Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. It is Mental Health Awareness Month, so we've reserved every day this week some time to talk about one of the seven feelings detailed in the new book written by Liz Fosseline and Molly West Duffy called Big Feelings, How to Be Okay When Things Are Not Okay. Each day this week, Liz or Molly will join us to take on one feeling from the book for what we are calling Big Feelings Week. Yesterday, we discussed perfectionism, and today we're going to speak about regret and its many forms and consequences. Liz and Molly write in the book, quote, "No matter what path we take in life, we all will have moments when we experience some level of regret about the roads we chose not to travel, but done right, dwelling on what might have been can serve us." Joining us now to discuss regret and take your calls is Liz Fosseline, co-author of the book, Big Feelings, How to Be Okay When Things Are Not Okay. Liz, thank you for joining us again.
Yeah, so great to have to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Listeners, we want you to participate in this conversation with us. How do you manage regret? Are you feeling regretful about anything right now? How are you trying to work through it? Call in. Maybe we can give you an assist. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or tweet to us at @allofitwnyc. How has regret influenced the way you make decisions? Why do you think it's such a powerful emotion? 212-433-9692. What advice do you need to help get over a feeling of regret? Our phone lines are open. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You can tweet to us or send us a DM via Instagram at @allofitwnyc. So let's talk about the basics of what regret is. You write that psychologists consider regret a counterfactual emotion. What does that term mean?
Yes, it means that we obsess over the counterfactual. So if you choose path A, you will inevitably think from time to time, well, what would life be like if I had chosen path B? And regret is actually, there's been this push recently. I think the hashtag no regrets life is a big one. Regret is actually really valuable. So if you think about it from an evolutionary perspective, if you ate a red berry and spent the next 24 hours with horrible food poisoning, it's really important that you would regret that and think back and be like, I wish I hadn't eaten that red berry, so that the next time you see the red berry, you don't eat it. And it's actually engaging with regret helps us craft more meaningful lives for ourselves in the future.
So in some ways, it's the way we're wired a little bit to sense regret as a form of protection back in the little lizard brain part.
Yes, completely. And that's not to say that it isn't painful or that, you know, I think we can, regret is often tied with grief. A lot of people say, I wish I had done this. I wish I had said this to someone. And so you can't always go back and fix things. You don't always have the option to pick the better choice in the future, but it does help you sort of figure out your values and make that better choice in a similar situation down the line.
What do you think that hashtag no regrets actually is trying to say?
I think it's speaking to the fact that we tend to get mired in our regrets and get stuck in them as opposed to engaging with them, accepting that they are painful, and then pulling out a lesson from them. So I think it's, I don't want to trash the hashtag no regrets movement. I think there's something good in it, which is, you know, we shouldn't ruminate to the point where it prevents us from moving forward, but it is still worth, one, accepting that you will have regrets no matter what, because you can only live one life. And two, that there is meaning in regret, so we shouldn't want to eradicate it from our consciousness.
And you share a story about regret you felt about not going with your mom to Germany to clean your grandmother's house and organizing her belongings after she passed away. Can you, if you wouldn't mind sharing your initial feelings of regret and then how you started to process it?
Yeah, so I was in my early 20s when my grandmother passed away. My parents are both immigrants. I'm an only child. So this house, my grandmother's house, I'd been going to, you know, some summers growing up, and it was really felt like the connection I had to my parents' life and to my extended family. So when my grandmother died, my mom asked me to go with her, and I said no, because I had just started this new job. And thinking back on it, like, I don't know what came over me. Like, I just can't understand. And I think this is tied into perfectionism, which we talked about yesterday. And I still, you know, thinking of my mom alone on an 8-hour international flight, having to go clean up like her life, essentially, that we wouldn't have this connection anymore. It's so painful. Like, I'm deeply ashamed of the choice I made. But sitting with that and acknowledging how terrible it felt, my dad had heart problems about a year ago. And my parents again were like, you don't need to come home. Don't worry about it. And it immediately to me was, I'm taking a week off. I'm coming home. I want to prioritize my family in a way that I still feel regret over not doing 10 years ago.
Thank you for sharing that, first of all. Let's talk to Mary calling in from New Brunswick, New Jersey, on line one. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. Hi, that was a really touching story. I was telling the person I just spoke to that I just ended a long-term relationship. I had initiated this breakup with my partner, and it was a mutual decision, and I had such regret about it because I had kind of initiated it. And I did it, I knew the reasons for it. It was protective. It was because I cared so much about this person. And I wanted to stop some hurting that was going on. And so but I still have this immense regret. And I just love something that my therapist told me. He said that regret isn't just something that you feel when you feel you've made a mistake or the wrong decision. It's also something that you feel when you've made a decision that you don't like. And that just requires acceptance. And that was huge for me. It helped me so much to sit with that feeling, that regret that I was feeling.
Mary, thank you so much for sharing that. Liz, did you want to respond or react?
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. And this actually has come up for me in my career. But I think a similar point where I have chosen a career path that's more creative, and I love it. It fills me with a lot of personal meaning. And there's still this like type A child of immigrant part of me that is like, oh, I should be a vice president at an investment bank, right? Like that's the sort of quote unquote successful child of immigrant story. And sometimes I still feel regret over not pursuing that path. And to this point, it's not that I'm on the wrong path. It's just, yeah, there's like some choices you make that are painful and that, you know, cut off a different path from you. And so it doesn't mean necessarily that you need to change everything in your life or that you made the wrong decision. So I love that the caller brought that up.
It is Big Feelings Week here at All of It. We are talking to Liz Fussling, co-author of Big Feelings, How to Be Okay When Things Are Not Okay. Today, we are discussing regret. We're doing this series as part of Mental Health Awareness Month. We'd love for you to participate in this conversation. How do you manage regret? Are you feeling regretful about anything right now and you'd like to share it? Maybe we can walk through it with you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or you can tweet to us at All of It WNYC. I'm glad you brought up careers because we're just coming off the big or sort of in the big resignation where people are deciding to leave jobs and choose other jobs or having to choose between two jobs. Any guidance you would give someone who either takes a job or turns down a job and then is now thinking like, oh, I didn't make the right choice. I kind of regret that I didn't join company A or I regret that I didn't leave company B.
Yeah. So one thing is, I think we tend to look at the choice we didn't pick through rose-colored glasses. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy. Like, let's say you decided to be a teacher instead of a doctor, whatever it might be. It's really easy to think about like, oh, I could be wearing a lab coat. I could be having people just so grateful that I saved their lives, and not really think about the day-to-day of, I would have been in med school for X amount of years. And actually, this is a type of stress I don't want to take on. And for me personally, I have a blood phobia. I would be unconscious most of the day. It wouldn't work for me. So I think it's really important first to kind of take off the rose-colored glasses and make sure that you are not fantasizing and creating this magical alternate life in which everything is perfect. And then one phrase switch that I found really useful is when you find yourself thinking like, what if, getting specific, so saying like, what if I'd taken that job? Maybe it's instead like, what if I had taken one of these opportunities and instead switching it to maybe I could take that now? And so thinking about like, what are the things about that job that were appealing? Can I actually implement some of that in my current situation? Can I talk to my manager about those specific opportunities I might feel regret around not having taken on?
One myth about regret you include in the book is always pick the option you'll regret the least. So why are making choices about the possibility of future regret not a good practice?
Yeah, so it's, I think we tend to do that on a very short-term horizon. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's easy to think like, well, if I don't get on the plane and go to Paris tomorrow, I'll regret that tomorrow. And that's true. But then it's also like, well, what will you regret in 5 years, in 10 years, you know, and you're 50-year-old self might actually be grateful that you saved that money and didn't, you know, blow up your job and maybe took a different step. So it's definitely still about regret minimization, but it's useful to think about it on different time horizons. So tomorrow, a week from now, a year from now, 10 years from now. And I think that kind of gives you a better sense of this, like, in the medium long run, what's actually the best option for me right now.
Let's talk to Sandy, calling in from Bergen County, who has a nice, great piece of advice. Hi, Sandy.
Hi there. I am so happy to be able to offer this to other people because it helped me so much. Up until, I would say, in my 40s, I was harboring a regret that I had not gone ahead and pursued medicine, which I started out as a pre-med. I had shifted my interest while I was at college, but still I kept on regretting it, meeting other women doctors, et cetera, et cetera. My life was extremely full. I was doing things that were satisfying, but I still had harbored this regret. And I mentioned it to a psychiatrist, and this is what he said. Every single day of your life, I want you to beat yourself up over this. And in 5 minutes, put it back on the shelf. That has helped me. That helped me immediately. And every time I think of it, I laugh. And I've offered it to a lot of other people who comment about really what they consider serious regrets.
Sandy, thank you so much for your contribution. I just wanted to make sure we could get to a few other calls. Thank you, really, Sandy, for calling very much. There was something I think is really important to mention, Liz, that you say one of the myths, and I think people really do buy into this, if you follow your passion, you'll never feel regret. Do we know what's the source of that sort of mythology?
I mean, I can't even begin to count the number of times that I heard, especially in college, like, follow your passion. I live in San Francisco, so I'm surrounded by this tech mentality of like, you gotta love what you do every single day. And the truth is, you can have a job you love and there will be days when it's bad and you don't like it. And so I think it's this unrealistic expectation that we place on people to be radiantly happy and engaged with their work all the time. And then the moment that inevitably doesn't happen, that's when it's like, oh, did I make the wrong choice? Am I actually passionate about this? Now I start to have regrets. And that's when we get mired in this, you know, like, what if I had done something else? Am I even on the right path? So I think it's also really useful just to remind yourself that, one, nothing is going to be perfect. That's kind of what life is about. You're going to have bad days, hard times. And again, that doesn't mean you need to deeply regret your choice or that you're on the wrong path.
You identify six types of regret. Would you just walk through them and we can get specific about a couple?
Yes. So one of the regrets is sort of rushing in regret. So this is when you look back and you wish you had waited a little longer before making a decision. And in that case, it's useful to think, well, what pressures did I put on myself that made me rush into this situation? And how can I push back against those in the future? There's also the flip side, which is dragging out regret, which is you kind of knew what you needed to do, but you just didn't make that decision for weeks or for months. Or in the case, I spoke to a friend who was kind of in a relationship that he knew wasn't that great, but he didn't end it for 4 years. And so there it's useful to explore what fears were preventing me from making that decision. did those fears manifest once I made the decision, and how can I be a little more decisive in the future? So those are two of the two, and like one on either side of this, rushing in versus dragging out.
Let's take a couple more calls. Let's go to Talia, who is calling in from Brooklyn.
Yes.
Hi, Talia, you're on the air.
Hi, what a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you so much. So I have the one where I delayed too long on something. I, as a fellow immigrant, and many immigrants probably face this as well, I didn't travel back to my home country. And this is already years ago, but it always stays with me, in time to see my grandmother once more before she passed away. And the same thing, you know, the same thing happened again with my father, you know, because I tried to travel back as often as I can, but I didn't get to see him again, you know, before he had a heart attack. Mm. So, and those things are always not in our control, right? But still, there's this remaining sense of regret, you know, that, you know, for example, with my grandmother, I think I was in some kind of counseling, and I thought, oh, I should go one more week, or he's going to charge mm-hmm. me for the session. And then I didn't fly back. And just in that 10-day period of getting the travel ticket, you know, when I knew she was ill, she passed away. So that's not moving quickly enough, right?
Yeah.
And you know, and then with my father, of course, the heart attack is unpredictable.
Yeah.
But it was like the summer before, oh, I should go there, you know, and then I didn't. And then that fall, you know, so things like that are, you know,
they stay
never
with
can
you.
Always know.
Yeah, they stay with you. Talia, thank you for sharing it. I'm sure that really helped someone else who might have had the same experience to have someone else give voice to it. Let's check in with Russell from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hi, Russell.
Hey, hello. Good to be on the
show. Oh, we lost you there. You were there. Now you're not. Let's try Don on line 3. Well, we figured out if Russell can come back. Is this Russell or Don?
Hi.
It's Don. Hi, Don.
This is Don. Hey, just to tell you, I remember this play, Les Liaisons Dangereuses, which became the movie Dangerous Liaisons, which a lot of people know. And there's a line that the Glenn Close character, the Marquise, says toward the end, which always stuck with me like 30 years ago, which is, regret is an essential component of happiness. And I think it's the idea of just the dichotomy. You need that dichotomy in your life to bring meaning. So just, regret is an essential component of happiness, so has stuck with me all these years. And just that occurred to me while I was listening to you guys speak. And thank you for this segment. It's been terrific.
Don, thank you so much for calling in. I wanted to get your thoughts on that, Liz.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think regret, in a way, highlights what we don't want and what we don't want to continue doing. And that's just as valuable in the pursuit of a meaningful life of happiness, is to know things you don't want to do again, as it is to know things you do want to do. So, you know, whether that's like remembering that this could be the last time you are with a loved one, and really making the most of that time, if it's being more decisive, prioritizing different things than you used to, regret is really a path to doing that.
All right, Russell's back. Hey, you're back, Russell from Minneapolis. Go for it.
I am back. So I was in a pretty terrible accident, and through a lawsuit, got a great deal of money, which I managed to squander most of it. Mm. In the regret of that, I didn't spend it all. And I made some purchases that made sense, but most of it didn't. Because of that regret, the money that I had that I've had remaining, I've actually been able to use that regret and do something smart with that money. So I think regret can definitely be a huge learning experience if, you know, thought about properly. Thanks.
Russell, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, Liz, in our final minute, regrets can be useful, to Russell's point. And you guys write about that in the book.
Yes, definitely. So I think that was a great illustration of, it's kind of sitting with that pain of, ooh, I made a mistake and this felt bad, that actually creates the motivation to do something different. So instead of pretending like you don't have regrets, like it's hashtag no regrets 24/7, it's actually really valuable to sit with what hurts, because that can, again, help you pick the choice that doesn't hurt as much next time.
The name of the book is Big Feelings, How to Be Okay When Things Are Not Okay. It is the inspiration for our Big Feelings Week here at All of It during Mental Health Awareness Month. Liz Fosslien has been our guide for this segment. Liz, thanks again for being with us.
Yes, thank you. And thanks to everyone who called in and shared their stories.
And that is all of it for today. I'm Allison Stewart. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you listening to this show on WNYC. And you know what? I will meet you back here next time.